Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. I'm here again with Noah Champ.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Good. Last one.
Woo. Yeah.
Last one.
Yeah. We're going to
ever. No, I'm kidding. It's not gone well.
We are planning on taking a little break for the summer. Yeah. Communities are on break.
Yeah. We'll be on break through July. Yeah. Back up in August.
Yep.
When we're getting close to all the orange stuff.
Yeah.
Fall, be close.
And what's fun to think about is at that point, we should be in or nearly in the new building.
Well, yeah, we'll most likely be in.
It's looking like mid to end July. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the hope. And then like at the end of August, beginning of September, somewhere in there, like we'll do a couple services in the building and then we'll do like a grand, like,
sure.
Grand openings type service of the building.
Yeah. And getting into a brand new space, it takes time to get things set up. It takes time to work out.
Your volunteers learn new spaces and new places to meet. And it's just, and the building does look different. It has a different feel to it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But we're getting close, man. This whole week has been meeting after meeting after meeting on signs and floors and paints and chairs and colors and everything.
Yeah, that's so exciting.
It is. It's really exciting, especially there's something about summer that brings new life already.
Sure.
Summer feels lively.
Yeah.
And so doing it in summer, I think, has been fun too.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of fun.
I notice we're wearing very similar shirts today.
Yeah, we both have suns on our shirts.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how
kind
that
of a sunrise
ended
thing
up
going on.
Happening. Yours is very fancy. Mine looks like spray paint.
No. I don't mind one bit. I mean, that's a Pantana shirt, so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a big deal. But
can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. I like it.
Yeah.
It's my summer vibes.
Yep.
I normally just wear white or black, and so I'll throw a little color in the summer.
Okay. With this being our last episode for the summer, it works out that yesterday you kind of finished up a teaching set. At church.
Yeah.
And you've been talking about the family that we will be.
Yeah.
And it's the family that we are and the family we will be at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. I tried to make that very clear last week.
It's
2 weeks ago now.
Yeah. It's, you know, I recently heard somebody say this on an individual level. This is true. And I think it works on a community level too, is that like individually you are who you are, but you also are who you could become. At the same time.
Wow.
Right.
That's good.
And so that's true of all of us all the time. Yes. Like I am who I am, but I also am the potential of who I am to become, who I have to become.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what we're honing in on a community level.
Yeah.
That we as a family, we are who we are and we are also who we are becoming.
Yes. Well, and I think spiritual growth is not done often on macro levels. It's done on micro levels.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so it's not like weight loss. Where like every day you look in the mirror, you can kind of tell you're a little bit tinier somewhere.
Yeah.
It's very minute often. And so I don't think people realize the incremental growth they have. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's this place of we are this and we're becoming this. And every day there's this little like micro piece of this continuing to happen.
Right.
In us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think developing a value for incremental increase and incremental growth is crucial.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes we do want, you know, you might look at somebody that you really look up to, somebody you admire, and it could be for whatever reason, whatever, there's something about them that you think, man, I love that about them.
Right.
And I want to become like that. And it's hard sometimes because we want to wake up one day and have made the leap.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
all
we
of a sudden
want to
you
be
wake up
this
one day
guy.
And it's like, you know, it's easy to look at John Mayer and think, man, I'd love to play the guitar like John Mayer.
Yeah.
Well,
For sure.
Well, that's not going to happen from one day to the next.
No.
That's going to happen over an incremental increase. I mean, it'll probably never happen because he's John Mayer.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You can get somewhat close, maybe. Well, that, and like, it's a dedication to, like, the craft of being different, of, like, trying to change and be something different.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Yeah.
And it's hard because of that. You just don't see it. It's not often linear. Mm-hmm. And the hard part sometimes about growth is when we decide to begin to falter on the things that are growing us, we don't continue to grow in a linear pattern. Mm. Sometimes we grow like this mm-hmm. based off our decisions.
Right.
And not always like this.
Right.
You know, because whether that's because of seasons or whatever it is, like mm-hmm. some people just have the oomph and the drive to change in summer.
Sure.
And around winter, they just kind of like, well, I'm just going to kind of give up.
I'm just going to hibernate for a month.
I'm just going to hibernate for a couple months. Yeah. Or the opposite. Like,
yeah.
You know, summer, they're like going crazy, have all these events, all these things planned. And then mm-hmm. in winter, they're like, now I'm really going to dedicate myself to some self-care here. And,
sure.
You know, and so often growth is not linear. It kind of runs like this. And that even happens with the church family.
Yeah.
Just depending upon where things are at.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then it's hard too, because we've had a pretty solid core group of people at our church for a long time that have been growing steadily with us.
Yes.
And then that will take a different look when, let's say, we get into this new building, or maybe it's in a couple months, maybe it's in a couple years, but maybe, you know, we've doubled the size of our church.
Yeah.
And you've got a whole group of new people, and that kind of disrupts a little bit the flow, because you're trying to get the new people caught up to where we've been going.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so it is that kind of ebb and flow of...
It is, and that's the hard, like, the, you know, you never don't not want to grow, but you're also like, oof, I'm back at, you know, peg one with X amount of people.
Right.
And I think, like, you know, when we talk about being financially family, and, you know, we talked about this yesterday too, is like, that is sometimes the responsibility of growth, is that you become something for someone else. You become the image of what the family is for somebody coming into the room.
Right.
It's not always going to be me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit next to people or go out to eat with people the way maybe somebody else in our family will. Mm-hmm. So now you become the example of what it means to be a part of what we are. Mm-hmm. To somebody else new coming in. And a lot of people don't want that responsibility.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? To be the image of what B-Love is to somebody else.
Right.
You know, and that's what part of what being family is that you all operate in one way, in one system. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you guys adopted another five-year-old who, like, just lived the opposite of how the Hesses lived, mm-hmm. like, it wouldn't be long before you, Katie, mm-hmm. your children were like, hey, this is not...
Right.
We do it this way.
Right.
You know what I mean? We live life like this, in this ebb and flow.
Yep.
And like there has to be, that's a part of like a family saying, you're not going to change our culture. You come into, you migrate and transition into who we are.
Sure.
And like part of being family is carrying the responsibility to know that as you grow, people need to carry that same banner with other people as they come in the door. Mm-hmm. That you become a part of what we're doing, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing about developing culture, is helping people on a wide scale understand, well, this is how we do things as a family.
Right.
And so right now, what you're working towards with us as a family is developing us as a people where our lives are kind of lived in the direction of understanding, well, we're people who pray.
Yeah.
We are people who worship.
Yeah.
Right. We are people who are family.
Right.
Right. We are equipped sons and daughters.
Yeah. Yeah. We carry these values, and like, you know, hopefully some of our values as a family even increase. Like, we're in the room. When we gather, we're there.
Right.
When we're worship, we're minister to the Lord and we're focused in on that.
Yep.
We're dedicated to teaching and learning and growing, like all these, like, you know, we hopefully even further ourselves and allow people in on those things and furthering mm-hmm. those core things about who we are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what you hope to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about, because you just mentioned, like, as a family, one of the things that I know you and I have a really high value for, and I think... in the church, not just our church, but the church, we've kind of seen a veering away from the value of being in the room.
Yeah.
Like that's
just a little.
trying to put it lightly.
Yes, very kindly, it's been a very, Brian.
It's been a, there's been a drastic shift over time where it seems like people feel maybe like there's less of a responsibility for them.
Sure.
To be with the family, to show up and be in the room.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple different places you could start from. First is, and it always feels like I'm beating a dead horse, the way church attendance is now, if someone from the early church or the Acts church saw that, they would have no...
Yeah.
They would have no grid. To say that you only meet together once a week and you miss that... is the most bizarre thing.
Yeah.
That would be, and it comes really from this, I think. At the end of the day, church attendance or being in the room when you gather, because it's not about attendance, it's about going somewhere with a group of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
It really boils down, I think, often to this, is that when you see the lack of, like, care to be in the room, it to me it shows that being a believer, I hate like saying a Christian, like, I mean, you are a Christian, but like, there's just like being a practicing Christian,
right?
Better term. It just goes to show that fits into the same set of things that you also do.
Mm-hmm.
So like example, you are a Christian, you love to knit, you're a fan of movies, and you like, you know, going on jogs, you're a jogging person. Those all become a part of the same thing because those all ebb and flow with your life.
Sure.
So you hear things like, well, we didn't go to church today because we just had a day of rest.
Yeah.
Well, if the presence of the Lord is not rest, then you have completely lost what this is.
Sure.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
You have no clue at all.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't go today just because we just, you know, weren't feeling up to it.
Yeah.
My cousin had a graduation party. Tough. Like, it's just not, like, it's not the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, the reality is gathering is, and I get it, like, we go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I miss some. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but, like, when I was a kid, like, the first priority of our existence was being at church.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't miss church, man. You didn't do it.
Yeah.
And there was a reality of like, it's because you are changed when you are together, gathered together around the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reality of it. And it changes not only like the spiritual aspect of you, but the normal person of you. I went into a bunch of statistics Sunday on the reality of there's a rise of anxiety, there's a rise of depression, and it's because we're in the greatest era right now of isolation in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you work from home, you live at home, you don't go to the movies anymore, you watch your movies at home, you do activities at home, your kids are homeschooled,
mm-hmm.
not bad things, you're in complete isolation.
Yeah.
And isolation has never been good for any person ever.
Right.
There's no data that shows that that's good.
Yeah.
There's no data to show that you can live at home, work from home, kids at home, everything at home, maybe pop into Aldi every now and then go back home. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
It builds anxiety. It builds depression. It leads to bad thoughts. It creates within us an unformed nature of how to be.
Mm-hmm.
And like church attendance was high in the 70s, 80s, especially the 70s, but 70s, 80s, and even in the early 90s. And we could see that the numbers of these type of mental health issues dropped drastically.
Mm-hmm.
That's not by coincidence.
Right.
Being in community forces you to do a couple things. One, it forces you to become selfless. Think of other people before yourself, which actually helps your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it allows you to be vulnerable and open and communicate where you are as a person, helps your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's just so many aspects of this tied to being a better person, even outside of the spiritual things of this. And it's just not the way the church did it.
Yeah.
Like, we're just not the way the church was.
Right.
And it's okay that, here's the thing, and it's okay that you feel that way, but then you can't say you want a genuine move of God either. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you want that, that's fine, but you can't want this too.
Right.
Because they don't collide. Coming, missing for a missing because you just didn't feel today, missing because you had a long Saturday, missing because it was a family day, missing just because the game was on, mm-hmm. missing for all that things and saying, oh, we really want to see God move. No, you don't.
Right.
That's okay, but don't lie.
Yeah.
Don't lie to my face.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes people, do you think there's ever confusion with the move with, you know, I put quotes, move of God, because I think different people have different ideas of what that means.
Yeah.
Do you think there's ever like a misconception that a move of God means that he does something and we don't have to do anything? As if I want the Holy Spirit to come in the room.
Yeah.
But I don't want any responsibility.
Sure.
With that. Yeah. I want him to come and fix all the stuff that's going on in my life.
Yes.
I want to be completely hands off.
Yeah.
I want to be able to just do what I want to do, and I want the Holy Spirit to show up and fix everything.
Well, I think that's so true. I think there's a place where it's like, I just want to be while he does.
Right.
And two, I think there is a place where we naively believe that when a move of God does come, it will affect my emotions, so I'll be more hungry.
Mm.
And that's not true either.
Wow.
Because I can sit in a worship service right now and see a move of God and see people sit there crusty as ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just the reality of the situation.
Right. Yeah.
Like a move of God does not mean it's going to wake you up.
Sure. Yeah.
Because people still have this belief that presence encounters is about invoking my emotions.
Right.
And the presence of God really doesn't mess with my emotions. He messes with my person.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's not very emotional.
Sure.
It's just the reality.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think we think when a move of God comes, I won't have to do anything. And then when it does come time to do something, it will invoke enough of my emotions that I'll become hungry.
Right.
When that's not how moves of God's have ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
Move of God's come, and you could say revivals if you want.
Sure.
I think there's more to it than that. But move of God's happen when a group of hungry people get in a room, pray, intercede, worship, gather, commit to something. That's when a move of God happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it becomes a reality.
Yeah. I remember listening to, I think it was Stephanie Gretzinger, probably a year or two ago. She had spoken, I think it was at Legacy Church.
Okay.
And she was speaking on just worship and just presence. And if you've ever heard Stephanie Gretzinger, you just know she loves Jesus.
Yeah.
She just wants other people to know how amazing he is.
Right.
And she was just talking about, she was kind of talking about this, but she basically just said, you know, the thing about the Lord is he comes to feed the hungry. So.
Yes.
Like, just come with your hunger and that's enough.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if people have that backwards to where they want the Lord to come and make them hungry.
Totally. That's really good.
You know?
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, I think that's the problem.
Right.
I think it's one of the major problems that we're facing right now.
Sure.
Is he, you know, okay, Lord, come do it. Come make me a part of it. Make me hungry. Make me want it.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not.
Yeah.
That's not ever how it's.
Yeah. And it's
gone.
Maybe it's a little of both because when we come to him with hunger and he fills us up, it makes us hungrier.
Yes. But hungrier.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we've talked about this before, the apostles' answer to Jesus promising that the Holy Spirit would come was not wait in the way that we would think.
Right.
Because Jesus is wait.
Right.
You know, we talked about this. Jesus says, wait for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So what is waiting? It's prayer, fasting, and being tight-knit together in a room together.
Yeah.
That's what waiting is.
Yeah.
It's not what we think is waiting. It's there's an active nature to waiting to them. You know what I mean? That we just don't have.
Yeah, that's great.
If we want a move of God, let's wait for him. Awesome. Let's get in a room. Let's pray. Let's worship. Let's do some fasting. Let's figure it out together.
Right. Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we, in the church, with you talking about how, like, we have, you know, like, we like movies and then we like sports and we've got, you know, we've got these things and then we've got church. And I think a lot of times we kind of split our life up into like a pie chart and it's like, well, this little wedge here, this is, you know, football or whatever.
Yes.
And this wedge over here is movies. I love to watch movies. And then this wedge over here is church.
Jesus.
Jesus and church, you know. And if, And if like, I need it all to work together. And if, yes, you know, sometimes this movie thing over here,
yeah,
you know, there's a movie comes out or there's a football game and it's like, well,
yeah,
you know.
Well, and it's like, here's how I see it. I'm going to relate it to the most spiritual thing I can. Take Star Wars.
Great.
For an example. Like, we were watching a new Star Wars show last night, and you sometimes look at the dedication of the Jedi.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, man, like that's committed to something.
Yeah.
You know, like all the, like really all the silence and solitude,
mm-hmm,
the thinking, the slowness of talking,
mm-hmm,
the waiting to, you know, do the right thing. And like, there's a beauty of like the dedication they have.
Yeah.
And like now, like if we had something like that, it'd be like, hey, like on Thursday nights, like we just use our lightsabers. Then we go home. Like that's what it would be now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there'd be no place where you go, yeah, sit in a room alone,
yep,
meditate on the force.
Yeah.
You know, like some of these guys do isolation for 10 or 12 years, like, you know, just to ground themselves in the force.
Right.
It's like that would be, now it would just be like, hey, lightsaber nights on Thursday.
Yeah.
And on Fridays, we try to move boulders sometimes with our hands.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like that's what Christianity's become.
Yeah.
It used to be this thing that was the framework in which you lived by.
Mm-hmm.
So every part of your framework was not about like dumb Christian, like things like I only listen to Christian radio, but I only watch Christian movies, but like nothing like that.
Uh-huh.
I'm not talking about the lame things that we do now. I'm talking about that we entered in society through the framework of a Jesus view.
Yeah.
And we operated it through that, and we didn't allow it to change us, but we used spiritual disciplines to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So I operated in the real world, but I use silence and solitude, prayer, worship, frugality, you know what I mean? Like all, mm-hmm, these different things, simplicity. And I brought the world into my framework and shifted it into the kingdom.
Mm.
And it was a way of viewing my existence differently.
Right.
Where now Christianity is a part of my existence, not the reason I exist.
Right.
You know, and it's just different.
Yeah.
And we can say, well, no, that's not true for me. It is. It is.
Yeah.
Because it's still in some ways true for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a part of what I do.
Sure.
I still pray and like, you know, to the Lord, like, Lord, like this is still a part of me. It's not me. Mm-hmm. And I hate that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's I know it is because it is for me still in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all that I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't fast all, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard because, you know, we grew up in a culture where, you know, because you'd kind of mention like the 70s and the 80s, maybe like a little bit into the 90s too,
yeah,
that like a commitment to like being at church was a much higher value.
Oh, dude!
And
like
we've seen a decline since then.
Even changing churches, like when I was, right, a kid, you had to call the secretary to get a change of membership form.
Right.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Now it's like, well, God's calling us over here because they have better kids' church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's like there's this reality of like you used to be dedicated to the place that God called you to, often for the rest of your life.
Sure.
Like I know a guy who like they are like four generation people in one church, like four generations at one church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like four full generations. And like you used to have like every believer in the, like, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, like every believer was like Wednesday night Bible study, Sunday night church, a Friday night potluck, a, mm-hmm, Tuesday night ladies thing, a Wednesday night or a Friday night or Thursday night men's thing. Like, there was always something, and like that was it. That was the centerpiece. Like what the YMCA and kids sports and like travel sports is now used to be the church for people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like all the, like the farmer's market now, the hanging out downtown, like that used to be what the church was for people.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all these external activities. Because what secularism has done in our day is tried to recreate the same type of community we found in church, just not centered around Christ.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what secularism has done.
Yeah.
And so, like, we've lost that because it used to be the centerpiece. Like, my church was my mm-hmm, place.
Right.
You know? And it was hopefully not about your church or your leader. It was about Jesus.
Right.
And the church did a disservice because they made it about themselves. And so that hurt it as much as people did. It's not all people. It is some, it's a 50-50 of the church becoming a bit egotistical.
Yeah.
And leaders becoming egotistical narcissists.
Yeah.
That didn't help that.
Right.
But like the church used to be the centerpiece of your family,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not that way anymore.
Yeah.
And we, here's the thing. We want to be mad at the world for all the stuff they're doing with the LGBTQ, with government, with politics, with indoctrination, with what they're trying to do with children, everything else.
Uh-huh.
And yet, like we are no more bonded together as a community of the churches. Like, we think that's not, that won't relate to that at all.
Right.
Like, if I just delete Netflix, it'll cure the problem. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know what? There's a now there's a homosexual, you know, kids show on Hulu. Well, I've erased Hulu, so I've done my part. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's not your part.
Yeah.
That does nothing.
Yeah.
Because like secularism's going, like secular people are going to do what secular people do.
Right.
And the data shows there's just as many as them as there is Christians now. Mm-hmm. It's going to take communities bonded together.
Yeah.
Because in that comes creativity. You know, a greater form of unity, all these different things that change a city, mm-hmm. that change people, that change the culture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all we are is becoming anti-culture, not change the culture.
Right.
Like getting rid of, like getting rid of all the streaming services because they have, you know, homosexual kids shows
mm-hmm.
doesn't change the culture. It just means you've left the culture. And Jesus says, be in the world, not of it.
Right.
We're designed to change culture, and that comes from how we bond together as a community and become something that looks greater than what the world is offering.
Mm-hmm.
Not you in your home with a sign that says, God bless this mess.
Right. Yeah. That's a really interesting way to put it, because you think about Jesus and the way he lived. He didn't abstain from the things of the world. He went into it.
Yeah. He ate with sinners.
Yeah.
That was kind of like his big thing.
He called Zacchaeus down from the tree. Everybody hated Zacchaeus.
Everybody.
He had no friends.
Yeah.
He was the worst, right?
Yeah.
And so Jesus was like, it would have been very understandable. It would have made more sense for Jesus to be like, no, man, like I'm not going to bother.
I can't deal with you.
Like,
today,
you're
bro.
Totally missing it, bro. Like, I can't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do that. Mm-mm. He said, hey, you want to grab some lunch? And then Zacchaeus walks away changed. And you're right, like that's changing the culture.
It is.
It's not turning your back to it.
No.
But it's saying, I'm not going to become like you, but I'm going to stay engaged.
Yes, I'm going to stay engaged, and I'm going to create a people group that looks so mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually healthy that it's too addictive not to try to be a part of.
Yeah.
It's too addictive not to want,
right.
Because there's clarity of mind. There's no anxiety. There's no depression. There's no fear. There's no immorality. There's no like affairs. There's no divorce. There's none of these things. And instead, like Jesus gets accused of being a drunk and a glutton because he spends most of his time eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors.
Right.
And what we do is go, no more Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. I have 9 crosses in my kitchen. I'm never watching cable television again. And you're never going to see me at the movies.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
That's not changing culture. Mm-hmm. That's rejecting it.
Sure.
And that's not how the world has changed. Like, there's a reason, like, at the end of the day, in the 18th century, Christians were the leaders in art, music, engineering, architecture,
mm-hmm.
Literature, like all these different aspects, basically the 5 main
mm-hmm.
food groups of culture Christians led.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We go from that to angel video,
mm-hmm.
Christian music, like not music, Christian music.
Right.
Not just music that's good.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to not say things that don't need to be said in it, like Christian
right.
music. We go to, I could get into a lot more stuff. I don't want to step on too many toes. But we basically have said we're not going to be in anything. We're going to become our own thing, and we've lost.
Mm-hmm.
the world is more secular now than it feels like it's ever, or let me rephrase that. That's not true, because the world's been really secular. Look at Rome. America is the most secular it's ever been.
Sure.
And it's not because we are not Christian enough. It's because we left culture and started our own Christianese version of everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Like, do you want me to shock? Like, you don't want to know what's shocking? Like, C.S. Lewis didn't leave the university scene because he became a Christian and said, like, I can't be a part of Oxford.
Yeah.
Right. Because now I'm a believer. Uh-huh. I can't stop going to the pub I've gone to for the last 20 years.
Right.
Because now I'm a believer. Mm-hmm. Nope, stayed there, educated people, wrote some of the most amazing Christian literature. Some of it was fictional, and people who didn't know would have no idea it had to even do with Christ, Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
Same with Tolkien.
Yep.
Tons of people love Lord of the Rings who aren't Christians.
Yeah.
And Tolkien was a Christian.
Yeah.
Because he just wrote, because he just did good things well. Uh-huh. And it didn't have to go, hey, like, you can do Lord of the Rings, but, like, Jesus has to come at the end and kind of, like, save the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, hey, like, you can't have dragons because, like, dragons and demons can be associated with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord of the Rings has wizards.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, like, if you watched Harry Potter, like, you were going to die.
Right. Yeah.
And it's, there's this reality because, like, we are anti-culture. It's like, yeah, how's that working for us?
Right.
Because all of our children are leaning into secularism. They're deconstructing their faith. They are leaning more into ways of, like, sexuality and ways of being that aren't really aligned with who we believe we are as believers or who scriptures say we are.
Right.
So how is that working for us?
Right.
Instead of saying, let's go influence culture by being a stronger, healthier version of a culture that influences people. Let's make good art, good music, good literature. Let's change how we can view society. Let's make good entertainment even. Mm-hmm. We don't do that.
Right.
We don't do that at all.
Yeah. The church became very passive and very disengaged.
Yes.
And I think you're right. I think that as believers, I think we are meant to be at the forefront of innovation and creativity.
Yes. Technology even.
Yeah. Well, we're the ones who know how to engage with the Holy Spirit. Like,
right. The ultimate innovator.
Right.
Like, you know? The ultimate innovator, man. The person who is the most creative being in the world. It created humanity.
Right. Like, you want to talk to somebody who's got some good ideas, talk to the Holy Spirit because he's got some good ideas.
Yes. Know? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, you know, and it's like, I don't want to step on too many toes, but when you watch Christian stuff, it makes you want to, like, vomit.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
You know why The Chosen's so good and why it's been so, like, raved over? Because it's the first thing that didn't feel like Christian. And I'm using air quotes for our audio listeners.
Yeah.
It just felt like really well-written television.
Right.
About the guy that we all worship, which is great.
Yeah.
But well-crafted, well-written. Not overly.
It's good acting.
Good acting.
Good story.
Good story. Good dialogue. I mean, it's a lot of scripture.
Right.
But, like, it's just well done.
Right.
And, you know, there's some stuff in there that people argue biblically. That's fine. But the reason it's growing so big is because it actually looks good. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, I enjoyed Facing the Giants as much as anyone else, but it didn't win any Academy Awards.
Right.
You know, and the reality is because we are living in our own little bubble.
Yeah.
And just constantly rejecting everything. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, sometimes I'm convinced, and this may be wrong, but this is what I'm convinced of. Sometimes I think the thing that the enemy hates the most is when a believer goes and enjoys something that he's made for evil and they use it for good and go enjoy it. You know?
I do know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, I think there's this reality of we are leaving the world behind because we believe it's going to hell in a handbasket. And yet all scripture says is that the world is our inheritance.
Right.
That the earth is our inheritance.
Right.
And we're just going, no, we're done with it. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, let's go influence and change it.
Right.
Are you mad that Disney, like that Disney has all these shows that have all these things for our children? Go learn to be a top grade animator.
Right.
Go learn how to be a top grade movie producer and writer and go change the culture.
Right.
Don't go start Jesus Vid. Don't go start.
Yeah.
Kingdom Videos.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Don't. Yeah. Like you want to change the movie industry? Go become great at business and work your way up and take over Warner Brothers.
Right.
Go be a really savvy businessman. Go pray for the favor of the Lord on your life.
Mm-hmm.
Go pray for his favor and blessing and take over Paramount Pictures.
Yeah.
You don't have to go start the Seraphim cinema. You know, like you don't, like it doesn't have to be that way.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, it's this thing like as we're rejecting culture and like churches in unity create creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And like we grow and we become something that's too alluring to reject.
Right.
When you have 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 people who aren't dealing with mental health issues.
Yeah.
And someone is deep in the valley of depression and anxiety and fear. That's a freaking, you know, drink of water for you.
Right.
That's a fresh glass of water, man.
Yeah.
And like that's gone, and we can't even gather together, which means we can't even have unity, which means we can't even change the culture, even locally.
Mm-hmm.
Like we, you know, for me, like I love Chattanooga. I want to change Chattanooga.
Right.
But like at the end of the day, the culture changing is going to come from us changing city by city.
Mm-hmm.
And then we begin to change all the spheres of the world.
Right.
Art, tech. Are you tired of like pornography being on every phone that your young men and young women can see?
Right.
Go develop better technology.
Yeah.
Go work for the companies that develop better tech.
Yeah.
You want to change what's allowed on iPhones? Go work for Apple.
Sure.
Don't go start a different Apple where there's a bite not taken out, you know, in some type of symbolism of the Garden of Eden. You know, and it's this hard thing of like, everyone is rejecting what is instead of fighting to make it what it can be.
Mm.
And we do that because we live in isolation, and so we don't even believe we can.
Sure.
But being in community, being in a church family, being together pulls qualities out of you that you can't normally find on your own. Because
mm-hmm.
it leads you to confession, it leads you to openness, which leads you to formation, which means to changing into the person you've been designed to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like if you read the biography of J.R.R. Tolkien's life, you'll see that he had a group of boys and basically like they got together basically every day after school and they talked politics, art, and literature, and all these things formed this young man. But it happened in a small group of community talking about the world, society, culture, art, literature,
sure.
everything. It formed these men and created these things within them, even these stories now.
Yeah.
That would become, you know what I mean? Like
right.
The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, you know, like all these different.
Mm-hmm.
And like those things are formed in community because community sparks creativity.
Yeah.
So being together is just as much about a move of God as it is about culture. And a move of God changes the culture.
Right.
Yeah. It just does.
Yep.
Because it makes people who they are, and we're supposed to be the leaders
mm-hmm.
of society.
Right.
Not the world.
Right.
We are.
Right.
And secularism's taking over because we've just said we're tapping out.
Yeah.
I don't give, you know, whatever it is. Netflix, my $9.99 a month.
Right.
I don't go to Starbucks because of XY. Okay, mm-hmm. great. They're really hurting.
Right.
$1 billion industries, man. They're really, really feeling the pain of your $10.
Right.
No, no, no. Go change them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew. That's what really grinds my gears.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we were to give a few summarizing points. Go to
what
church.
What would they be? Yeah, I would say I would say, like, to summarize it best, is the reality of that being connected and actively engaging in your faith and it being the centerpiece of who you are,
right,
leads you to being connected to a community that will eventually help form you into who you've designed to always be.
Right.
Which hopefully when you discover that person, you realize they are meant to be a changer of a society, not a rejecter of society.
Right. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Yeah, that's a totally different spin on looking at it.
Yeah.
But I do think that a lot of the problems we're facing in society can be traced back to the church's passivity and disengagement.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, like, look at Christian art now. Christian art is Trump and Jesus, each on one knee, praying over the Constitution. And it used to be the Sixtine Chapel.
Right.
Or the Sixtine Chapel.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What are we doing?
Right.
Go look at, like, old Catholic churches.
Right.
And now look at, like, our haze machines. You know right. what I mean? Like, go listen to, I don't know. I won't name any radio stations, but go listen to a Christian radio station.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then go listen to, like, oh, well, here's a great example. Like, okay. Michael McDonald is a Christian.
Okay.
And he was a part of the Doobie Brothers. So go listen to Chris Tomlin and then go listen to the Doobie Brothers and you tell me which sounds better. And a Christian did that.
Right.
It's not vulgar.
Yeah.
No vulgar lyrics.
Yeah.
Whatever, however you want to take that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just better.
Right. Yeah.
And everything doesn't have to be Christianese. It just needs to be good stuff done by believers. Mm-hmm. Because people will want to know who did it. And then that's when you begin to explain how your creativity is built. And it's through the Holy Spirit.
Right. How come your business is so successful? How come your family is so healthy?
Yeah.
How come?
Yeah, like Paramount Pictures is on the verge of bankruptcy right now, Chapter 11.
Okay.
One of the oldest American movie studios in the country. They made movies like The Godfather. They made movies like Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
On the verge of bankruptcy. Imagine taking that over, turning it into the most profitable movie company right now or movie studio in the country, and then someone reviewing you and going, how did you do this? Well, I really use the influence of the Holy Spirit to help me navigate this business.
Right, to know how to think about it.
What changes more, that
right.
or you starting Michael the Archangel movie production company? Like, we are so convinced that, like, we've got to do the opposite of what everyone else is doing instead of just trying to be a better influence on what they're doing.
Sure.
Being in what they're doing.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
Go look at some of the most amazing things done over history. It was all done by Christians.
Sure.
All done by Christians. Not now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Sad.
All right.
Awesome.
Great.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yep. See everybody in August.
Yeah. So we'll be on a bit of a break. So, enjoy your summer.
Yes.
Do some fun things.
Yeah.
Get outside.
Get outside. Have a good time. Be at church.
Come to church.
And, I would say for our family too, like, be ready because we really want to establish this new building for the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to require you being there. So take the summer, enjoy it, and be prepared to be in the room and minister to the heart of the Lord and build a temple
right.
for him to rest in
right.
this upcoming late summer, fall.
Yeah, great.
Yep.
All right. Well, that'll be it for this episode, and we'll be back in a couple months. And thank you for listening. And if you watch, thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time.